Good morning. If you'd like to be turning to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis 32. Have you really been enjoying the Genesis study on Wednesday nights? I have really thoroughly enjoyed the Genesis study. And I'm going to follow my concept of the three R's of learning. Not reading, writing, arithmetic. Reading, writing, arithmetic, but what? Repetition, repetition, repetition. So, or to put it this way, now we're going to get Genesis 32 right, Justin. I had to say that. I don't mean it. I love that study in Genesis 32. The reason why I decided to do this lesson, though, when Justin was teaching on it, I knew I had a lesson in the past that I'd preached on this, and it meant a lot to me. And so I thought I would share it with you, and I wanted to focus in on the what I consider to be the most memorable event in Jacob's life, which is the wrestling match with the angel of God, with God himself. You have wrestled with God and you have prevailed. So that's in Genesis 32. And everything in this lesson is going to kind of come off of that concept of Jacob struggling, because that's the emphasis in this text here. If you look at the context here in Genesis 32, it's right before Jacob is coming back into Canaan land. And he's really worried about meeting his brother Esau because he knows that Esau wanted to kill him earlier in his life for stealing his birthright and the promise. And so he's worried about Esau, and he's making all these preparations, and he's going to try to appease Esau when he comes back into the land. And so he's very concerned about that. And so that night, Jacob wrestles with the angel of God. Verse 24, Jacob was left alone. A man wrestled with him until daybreak. And when he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh, so the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. And then he said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And so he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." And then Jacob asked him and said, "Please tell me your name." And he said, "Why is it that you ask me my name?" And he blessed him there. And so Jacob named the place Peniel, for he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved." Now the sun rose upon him just as he crossed over Peniel, and he was limping on his thigh. And therefore to this day the sons of Israel do not eat the sinew of the hip, which is on the socket of the thigh, because he touched the socket of Jacob's thigh in the sinew of the hip. So my main concept here as I look at this text is I'm going to try to paint the picture this morning of Jacob being the typical man. He's you. He's me. And I do believe that the Bible intends for us to get that out of this story of Jacob. And I think the emphasis on the struggles of Jacob's life really lends toward that interpretation, as you see Jacob struggling with man and with God. And this great picture of this wrestling match with the angel of God is just astounding. All night long, Jacob's wrestling with a man whom he believes and knows and understands to be the angel of God. He's wrestling with him. And he won't give up. Not until God blesses him. Not until the angel blesses him. He won't give up. And so finally, the angel touches his thigh and makes him incapable of continuing on. And still, he won't give up. He continues. And so finally, the angel blesses him, changes his name to Israel. And so Israel now is the name which means prince with God. He's called a prince with God. And all throughout the rest of the history of Israel, you see Israel, I think, as a type of man, a type of man. Israel fails repeatedly, and God shows mercy to Israel over and over and over again. And there's finally a remnant of Israel that is saved, and in the New Testament you have the new Israel, the Israel of God. And so the church, Christians, you're called by God, the Israel of God. So it seems to me it's fair biblically to paint or to picture Jacob, Israel, as typical of all men, women, all mankind, all human beings. This is the nature of our lives. We struggle with man and with God. And so as you look at Jacob's struggles through his life, you see all kinds of things. And Justin did such a good job of bringing all of this out, all of these struggles. And if you're in the class on Wednesday night, you're just going to quickly relate to every one of these because we studied them thoroughly. You look at the partiality that Jacob faced at growing up, where his father loved Esau and his mother loved him. And so he had this conflict within his parents, you know, and you can't help but think that Jacob saw that. Jacob knew that. His father loved Esau more than he loved him. That's a struggle. That's a difficulty. And it bode poorly going forward. He had a lot of sibling problems because of the dreams that he had of himself and just the nature of the relationship he had with Esau when he stole his birthright. When Esau heard the words of his father, Genesis 27, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing." And Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he's taken away my blessing." In verse 41, so Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." So he's got struggles within his parents' relationship with him, and he's got sibling problems with Esau. He gets married, and now he's got marital strife to deal with because he was deceived by Laban, and he asked for Rachel, and Laban gave him Leah, and then he had to work another 7 years for Rachel, and now there's strife between Rachel and Leah that's manifesting in strife with him. In Genesis 30, verse 1, "Now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, 'Give me children or else I die.' And Jacob's anger was aroused against Rachel. And he said, 'Am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?'" In chapter 30, verse 14, "Now Reuben went in the days of the wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. And then Rachel said to Leah, 'Please give me some of your son's mandrakes.' But she said to her, 'Is it a small matter that you've taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also?'" So these are examples of the conflict and the strife that's going on in Jacob's home. He's struggling with the strife and the difficulty between Rachel and Leah. It's bringing him to anger against his wife. It's causing difficulties in the home. He's struggling through these things. And then you see work problems in Genesis chapter 31, verses 41 and 42, the story about how Laban mistreated him and dealt with him unfairly and unjustly. Verse 41 of Genesis 31, "Thus I have been in your house 20 years. I served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flock, and you've changed my wages 10 times. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham and fear of Isaac, had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night." So he's been mistreated unfairly. He's had work or employment issues, you might say. And you can see where we're going with this. We're going to try to understand that these are all problems that you and I go through in our lives. For the most part, most of us are going to go through all these struggles. Fear of his health and safety. I just put chapters 25, 31, and 32 up there because there's so much in there about how Jacob was in fear of his safety from Esau's brother trying to kill him. And so fear for health and safety. Physical infirmities, because the angel made him limp, right? And that had to have continued on for the rest of his life, I would think. There would be no reason for us to think that that suddenly went away. And so he's got a physical infirmity to deal with all of his life. And then you look in Genesis 35, verses 18 through 20. He loses the wife that he loves, Rachel, giving birth. So death of a spouse he's faced with. And then in chapters 34 through 38, you see a lot of stories here about the character flaws of his children and how much of a struggle that must have been for him to watch these things as his children engaged in revenge and anger and murder. When Dinah was raped and they her brothers went in and killed an entire town in vengeance. And the immorality that of Judah in chapter 35 and the envy that existed amongst the brothers of and especially with Esau, of course, with Jacob. And then the injustice and the immorality that occurred with Judah. When Judah was supposed to give his son to the wife of a man, a brother who had died, and he refused to do that. And so then she tricks him into having a relationship with her and then exposes him later as being unjust. And so you see immorality and you see injustice in that story. And so Jacob's watching all of this as the father of these children and seeing all of these character issues with his children. And you realize that that no doubt has to cause him struggle. And then he deals with the death of a child. And I put that in quotations because it wasn't really the death, was it? It wasn't that Joseph really died. It's that his brothers told Jacob that Joseph had died, and Jacob believed it with all of his heart. And his emotions were very high, and he could hardly constrain himself, and he believed that Joseph was dead, and so he had to deal with the real emotions, the real struggle of the death of a child. And then when they go down, the brothers go down into Egypt to get food, they have to leave Simeon behind, and he's imprisoned down in Egypt. And the brothers come back up and tell Jacob all about that. And so now he's got to deal with the imprisonment of a child, the uncertainty of what's going to happen. And then they say, we've got to take Benjamin back with us. And he doesn't want to lose the son of his old age, Benjamin, whom he loves greatly. And finally, he has to give Benjamin to them and let them take Benjamin back. And so he's dealing with all of these struggles all through his life. And then the famine, of course, that comes that brings all of Jacob's people, 75 total, down into Egypt finally to live there in the land of Goshen. The famine brings a loss of financial means all throughout this. That's why he sent his sons down to Egypt to get food. So these are categories of struggles and problems that I think as we list them like this, what they do is they emphasize to us that these are typical struggles that people go through in life. Almost everybody goes through something. I mean, probably most all of this list, everybody goes through these struggles if they live long enough. And maybe not every single one of them, but pretty close. And so I think it is fair to look at Jacob and look at the stories of Jacob in that light and say, this is the nature of man. This is the typical life, a life full of struggles where we struggle with man and we struggle with God. And the struggles with God I'll get to now as we... Oh, I forgot about the infirmities of aging at the very end there in Genesis 48. Can't forget that. It's coming on pretty quickly for me. And I think about Jenny up in Tennessee and what her father's been going through and her mother's been going through over the last number of years. And of course, we know, as we know our brethren in the church, as people age and get older, we see that a lot in the family of God. We see the infirmities of aging. So Jacob went through that as well. So there's 4 points to this lesson. First one is the certainty of struggles, as we have seen. With man, some of those struggles are self-inflicted, like with his parents, with Esau, with Laban's sons. With God, Jacob was faithless at times. He was scheming, he was lying, he was selfish. And then you see in his prayer in Genesis chapter 32, verses 9 through 12, a certain humility, a certain trust that he has toward God. After all these struggles that he's been going through and all of the struggles, the problems with God that he's had, and the schemes, the lies, the faithlessness of Jacob, in Genesis 32, verses 9 through 12, Jacob prayed as he was about to go back into the land of Canaan. He said, "O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, 'Return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you,' I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant." There's a deep sense of humility and gratitude in Jacob that you don't see in his earlier life. And these struggles that he's gone through seems to have produced those things in him. This relationship that he has with God that has developed down through the years, and his trust in God. And he's humbling himself before God and saying, "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you've shown your servant. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I've become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. For you said, 'I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude.'" So you see Jacob pleading with the promise of God to take care of him and watch over him and protect him. He humbles himself before God and says, "I'm not worthy of these mercies that you have shown me and that you continue to show me, but I am pleading with you because you have made a promise to me that you will deliver me and take care of me and treat me well, and that you'll make my descendants as the sand of the seashore." He's pleading the promise of God. He's putting his faith and dependence on God. So you see this certainty of struggles in his life that come upon him and come upon all of us, and his response is the response of a man who has learned who God is and humbled himself before God and put his faith and dependence and trust in God. That was not the Jacob of the earlier years. And so these struggles that he has gone through have taught him and trained him. And this is the nature of the struggles that we go through. This is the whole point of the struggles that we go through as we look down through this list. Every one of us probably could pick out probably 80 to 90% of these and say, "Yes, yes, I've been through that, seen that, done that, had that difficulty, had that problem." And every one of these problems here, parent relationships, sibling relationships, marital strife, work, employment problems, what Eric is going through now, other men in this congregation have gone through, and women, other families have gone through. These are struggles that we deal with, we're faced with. It's inevitable. We're going to go through most of these at some point in our lives. And all of them combined together make quite a list, don't they? That's a lot to deal with, isn't it? And you think about the physical infirmities of life. You think about the loss that people face in the death of a spouse, or worse, perhaps even the death of a child. And you see the loss of financial means, the infirmities of aging. All of those things are things that just about every person can say they've gone through if they've lived long enough. And so Jacob is the typical man. And he is pictured in this wrestling match with God. And I think that's where we're going to get the rest of our lesson from, is this struggle that he had that night with the angel of God. What did he want? He would not relent. He would not give in. He continued to wrestle
until the angel would bless him.
That's what he did. That's what he hung in there for. He wouldn't give up. Even when he was crippled, he wouldn't give up. And the angel finally blessed him. Look at the perseverance. And these three words that I have in bold there, perseverance, blessing, and assurance. We're going to deal with blessing, and then perseverance, and then assurance. That's what you see in the story of the wrestling match. You see the certainty of struggles. You see the hope of blessings. You see the need for perseverance, and you see the assurance of God all in that story. And those are, the keys to understanding how to get through life, because we're going to face through all these struggles just like Jacob did. Everybody faces them. Now, how are we going to learn how to deal with them? I think you can learn that just from that story. And you look at the concepts that surround it. So he wrestled all night to gain God's blessing. He wanted God's assurance of help in his expected struggle with Esau. So that's what we hope for. That's what we go through our struggles asking for the blessing of God. And we're connected to God through faith in Jesus Christ. And we've been given all the blessings, all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. We are, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, called a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. That's who we're called by God. Like Jacob's name was changed to Israel, Prince with God. That's how God sees you. You are a chosen people. You're a holy nation. You're God's own special people. And so you call upon God for the blessings, just as Jacob did. And we are connected to the author of life. And I thought it was important to bring that concept up. Remember about 6 weeks ago or so, I preached a lesson on that called Life in the Son, and how it is that Christians are connected to the author and the giver of life. Life, everything that life is meant to be and has in store, God is the author of it. He's the creator. He's the giver. He's the provider. So you're connected to one who provides life. So if you recognize that, then you will call upon God to bless you through your struggles, because you know that He's the one who gives life. And not only eternal life, but as Jesus said, 100 times more in this life and in the age to come, eternal life. So no matter what struggles you go through, God has 100 times more in store for you in this life and in the age to come, eternal life. That's what He has in mind for you. That's what God wants to do, is bless you. So if you'll put your faith and trust in Him when you go through these struggles, like Jacob learned to do, to put his faith and trust in God and humble himself. I'm not worthy to receive your mercies, Lord, but I believe your promise, and I'm calling upon you to fulfill your promise, to bless me, to help me. And he did. And God blessed Jacob all the way through to the end of his days. And so it's this hope of God's blessing that we have as we go through these struggles. We never give up hope. We never lose hope. We never let the struggles of life get us to the point where we give up, because we have God and we're a prince with God. And I know that sounds a little bit hard to hear because we're supposed to be humble. But let's let God call us that, His chosen people, His holy nation, a people for His own possession. That's what God says. And He wants to bless us. I put John 1 verses 1 through 4 up on the board after the announcements, because it talks about Jesus being, or in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And I always see that light guiding you through this life. God wants to bless you. So He gives you light. Even in the midst of all your struggles, He gives you light. What kind of light? It could be a brother or sister just helping you.
just to help you get through the struggle that you're going through. God does these things. We call upon Him for blessings and He provides them in His way, in His time. But we trust Him to do that. And we can get through these struggles just like Jacob did all the way to the end of his life. Because we're connected. And the next thing you see in this story is the perseverance. As we've mentioned already, the perseverance of Jacob. Can you imagine all night long wrestling with this angel of God? I will not give up. I will not give up until you bless me. And that's the way we've got to look at life. As we go through the struggles of life, I will not give up. I will not give in. I'm going to continue to put my trust and faith in God. No matter how bad things seem. And they seem pretty bad for Jacob as he was going into Canaan land. He was pretty nervous about his safety. And so you see these same themes in the New Testament. Passages that you're no doubt familiar with, I would think. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, struggles, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. But let perseverance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So you see that, right? Perseverance. These struggles are teaching us perseverance, because that's what it takes to get to the end. Jacob refused to give in. He persevered through the night. And then we see Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, where Paul talks about glorying in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And so the perseverance is what produces hope. Proven character. That means, I think, in the context there, the faith that we continue to have toward God as He helps us get through these struggles. And we continue to have hope in God. So let me ask you this. When you get through a particular struggle, what does that do for you? Strengthens your character, doesn't it? Produces even greater hope in you, doesn't it? You've seen it. You've seen God blessing you. You've seen Him blessing you, and you have a greater strength of faith. You have a greater hope. And that's how God gets us through this life. Perseverance. Jacob's struggles took decades, and ours may as well. Jacob is the type of man, the type of humankind. He is the type. It's a great story. That's why I think there's so much about Jacob in the book of Genesis, just to show us what it's like. This is the life of every person in some way, shape, or form. And so you see then the angel blessing him in this struggle. And you see the reassurance. God had been giving Jacob reassurance all along at Bethel in Genesis 28 when he had his dream and the ladder was set and the angels were coming down and up on the ladder. And then he talks about the promise that he'd made to Abraham and he reaffirms that to Jacob. He's giving Jacob ongoing reassurance. I'm with you, Jacob. I'm with you. And in Haran, in Genesis 31, verses 11 through 13, the angel of God spoke to Jacob in a dream. And Jacob said, here I am. And the angel said, lift your eyes now and see all the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. For I've seen that all that Laban is doing to you. I'm the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise and get out of this land and return to the land of your family. I'm with you. I'm with you. I've seen all your struggles. I know what you're going through. And God reassures him, I'm with you and I will take care of you. And so Jacob understands on an intellectual level, but he fears this coming struggle. But trustingly, this is when he prays that prayer, when he says, I'm not worthy of your mercies, but I trust your promises. And so trustingly and limpingly, he goes to meet Esau, not knowing what will happen. And what does Esau do? Do you remember? runs to him and throws himself upon him and weeps with him and receives him. God has provided. God has gotten Jacob through this struggle. God has assured Jacob that he is with him. So I'm going to close the lesson. So what have we seen in the story of Jacob? We've seen the certainty of struggles. It's a great story, or series of stories. The certainty. And you can see yourself in most of those, if not all of them. And then you see the hope of blessing. That's what Jacob was calling upon God for. That's what he refused to give up. God is going to bless me. And that's because he was a prince with God. And so are you. And so you have a hope of blessing. And then you see the need for perseverance. He had to continue on. All through the night, he continued on. He refused to give up. And then he got the blessing. And I see that as a picture of eternity. Ultimately, we're going to persevere. We're going to get through. We're going to deal with every struggle with trust and faith in God. God is going to bless us. We're going to persevere through, and we're going to get to the end. And that's eternity. And so you see all of that here. And so Romans 8 is a very good illustration of this. And I put some words in there to help you to see how all of these concepts are in Romans chapter 8. The idea of struggles and blessings and perseverance and assurance. They're all there in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, where Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings or struggles of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, the blessings. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. God has blessings in store for us in eternity, way beyond anything we could possibly be blessed by in the here and now." He says, for the creation was subjected to futility. That's the reason why we have so many struggles, partly. Some of it's because of our own choices and our own sin, but we live in a world of futility. And we're bound to go through struggles, loss, death, decay. It's a world of futility. He says, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty. I love that phrase. Into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The blessings. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Struggles. But not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, blessings, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, struggles, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body, the blessings. And then continuing on in verse 24, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. And we know, verse 28, that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. We're constantly being reassured that God is working. He's working all things together for good to those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, blessings, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. It's the certainty that Paul is presenting there of the Christian. The certainty, the reassurance. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? The reassurance. And then he continues on through the rest of the chapter. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. So we're like Jacob. We have the certainty of struggles. We have the hope of blessing. We have the need for perseverance. And we have the assurance of God along the way. Great story. Great series of stories. And I thank Justin for teaching the class on Wednesday nights. I'm really not happy that it's ending. And I'll just say this because you probably think it. I might as well say it. He does a great job of teaching. And I get a lot out of his teaching. And I commend him for that. Okay, enough gushing. Enough exalting men. All right. Appreciate your good attention this morning. We're going to close with a song and a word of prayer. And we always make this time available if anyone would like to obey the gospel of Christ. It gives God great joy, and all of us great joy as well. If someone put on Christ in baptism, if you know that that's what you need to do, and you haven't done that yet, and you want to put on Christ in baptism, today will be your spiritual birthday. It will be a very special day in your life and in your family's life. Or if you invite your prayers to the congregation, whatever you need with it, you invite your family.
God is all.